ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनिरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समवेदीये केनोपनिषदि द्वितीयः खण्डे चतुर्थः मन्त्रः मन्त्रार्थसमाप्तः। All is seen, the complete commentary on this mantra with also literal meaning of the fourth mantra we have already seen. Having completed Bhagavad Pada, to strengthen, to really stabilize our understanding, to help us ascertain the same clear understanding, he also presents others' views of the Atma, the truth. He has already briefly mentioned Bhartrupapancha's view and he showed the logical fallacies, he refuted them very briefly, didn't elaborate much. He also showed us the Vaiseshika's view and refuted it. Now he has picked up Yogacara Bauddha's view. As I already mentioned, Yogacara Bauddha comes very close to Vedanta Shastram, Vedantic vision, but still he has many logical loopholes in his contentions. So refuting Yogacara Bauddha itself is enough to refute the all other three schools of Buddhism also. Refuting one school of thought is as well as refuting the entire the system of philosophy propounded by Buddha. Okay, so here I said Yogacara Bauddha is also known as Kshanika Vijnanavadi. He takes the, as they explained already, kshanaha means moment, kshanam, and anything moment is kshanikam. According to this Yogacara Bauddha, there's a constant, continuous flow of consciousness. Just as the river is flowing, in the river, water is constantly, continuously flowing. So also here, there's a constant, continuous flow of consciousness. For him, consciousness is not a beginningless, endless, changeless reality. For him, consciousness is momentary, appears and disappears, comes and goes. But there's a constant continuous flow of consciousness, which means the objects perceived are varied, countless. So the thoughts pertaining to those objects are also varied and many. Therefore, the consciousness recognizable, being manifest in the thought, also appears to be many. Consciousness is one. The one and the same consciousness appears to be many because the manifestations of consciousness are many. Because manifesting media, the thoughts are many. Because the thought forms of objects are many because objects are many. Even though thoughts serve as manifesting media for consciousness, thoughts themselves cannot even exist independently. Thoughts do rise and thoughts do keep flowing, thoughts do resolve. Thoughts have to keep on moving because objects of perception vary. Only in the presence of the thoughts, the consciousness manifested in the thought is recognizable. In between the thoughts, there is consciousness, but it is non-recognizable. In between the cognitions, in between the thoughts also, consciousness changelessly, continuously is there, but is non-recognizable. Because in between the cognitions, in between the thoughts, consciousness is non-recognizable, he mistakes consciousness as kshanikam, momentary. When the water is flowing in a river, if you see any given particular point of the river, the water you see there, this constantly you see the water, there's constant appearance of the water, but it is not the same water because the previous water goes, the following water comes. Therefore, there's a constant appearance of the water, but still the water which appears to be there constantly is not the same water. It's a different, new, fresh water. So this is the example Yogacara Bodha gives to say how there is fresh, 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 new, new, momentary appearances of consciousness. For him, that momentary consciousness is real. Why he says only momentary? Because in between the cognitions, in between the thoughts, even the consciousness is there changelessly, invariably, it is non-recognizable. So, non-recognizability of the reality, the consciousness, is mistaken for non-existence by a Shunyavadi. Therefore, he makes a conclusion that there is Shunyam, nothingness is the truth. Nothing is there. But at least Yogacara Bodha is better. He doesn't say nothing. He says there is consciousness, but he says it is momentary. This is his problem. We understood yesterday also. He gives one more example to say that how consciousness is constantly flowing. There's a constant, continuous flow of consciousness, which is this fleeting consciousness, momentary consciousness. He says, when the flame is there continuously, of the wick, which is in the oil, the oil keeps on reducing. The more and more the wick is burning, oil keeps on reducing. Which means, for him, the flame also keeps going. When we see the flame, it looks as though there's a constant, continuous appearance of the same flame. But according to Yogacara Bodha, even the flame keeps fleeting, and the flame keeps fleeting can be understood from the standpoint of the reduction of the oil. When the oil gets completely finished, over, gets burnt, the fuel is not there, completely the flame stops. So that there's no same flame. These are the examples he gives just to say consciousness is momentary, comes and goes. So the consciousness which appears once dies, is not there. The next consciousness, which comes immediately, is a fresh new one. New, fresh appearance of the consciousness. Anyway, this is his view. And here, what another important point what Acharya picks up here is, there are so many fallacies, but still one particular thing what he picks up, just to say how Yogacharya Bodha's view is wrong. Let me make it very, please don't look into the book and read some other pages. Just listen to this carefully before I go to the class. It has been made very clear, abstract formless reality is of the nature of knowing, because the reality is endowed with a unique knowing power, which itself is its nature. It is just as the burning power of the fire cannot be destroyed because its nature. The illumining power of the sun cannot be destroyed because its nature, intrinsic. So here the knowing power is the surupam of the reality. So knowing is the surupam. Being a surupam, knowing is not an action. Be very clear, knowing is not an action. So not only knowing is not an action, there is no such thing called action or function for this reality implied by the term Atma or Brahman. Because we already understood subtleness, because of its subtleness, it's all pervasive. Being all pervasive, it is changeless. Being changeless, it is motionless. Being motionless, it is actionless. So actionlessness is absolutely the nature of the reality. Absolutely, what is only the reality, Brahman. There is no second thing other than Brahma. There is no second parallel reality. What is only one reality, Brahman, also known as Atma. And there is no second thing other than Brahman also. There is no second consciousness. There is no second thing called matter also. What is there is only consciousness. What about matter then? Matter in the form of material elements and elementals or living beings, non-living things, their actions, functions, everything is just an appearance of the consciousness. Very important. The gross physical forms of countless number of beings, their activities, their movements, their motions, and the subtle powers obtained within the gross physical forms, which activate the gross beings, gross forms, and even the functions of subtle aspects, and even the experience of parts of opposite, everything except the subtlest formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, everything else is mithya because it's only an appearance. Why? The only appearance, because all these matter, the material forms, names and functions do not exist independently, outside of, separably from the reality consciousness. Just as the forms, names and functions of waves or ocean do not exist separably from the water. Forms are there, names are also there, they have certain functions, but all are only exist not outside of the water, inseparable from water. That is why we have to say, in spite of seeing, experiencing them also, we only say the waves, the forms, names and functions in terms of waves are nothing but appearance, mithya appearance of, in satyam, the water, with reference to ocean. That's very clear. In the same way here, we have to see this matter in subtlest form or gross form or subtle form, subtler form, and the appearances, the forms, names, functions, including experiences, everything is only appearance, non-separate from the reality consciousness, inseparable from reality consciousness. They seem to be there, they're really their only appearance. Therefore, it is a mithya. What is there is only the reality consciousness. From the standpoint of this abstract formless reality consciousness, we have to see knowing is this Swarupam. That's all. There's no action. Now, the same reality is seen from the standpoint of an individual who is endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. When you see the same reality obtaining as an individual, many individuals, associated with, identified with body, mind, sense complexes, from the standpoint of the individuals, we can say the same reality being inseparable from these material forms, names and functions, otherwise it will be upadhis. Upadhis, the manifesting media, limiting adjuncts, upadhyaha. The upadhis are non-separate from the upahitam chaitanyam. From the standpoint of the upadhis, we say sopadhikam brahma or sopadhikaha atma. Sopadhikaha atma means what? Upadhi sahitaha atma or upadhi sahitam brahma. So Brahman, it's like saying water with forms, names and functions, ocean, waves, say ocean. And the liquid without forms, names and function, waves, water. The same way here, this abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, the appearance of upadhis is said to be sopadhikam brahma, upadhi sahitam brahma, or upadhi sahitaha atma, sopadhikaha atma. From the standpoint of the upadhis alone, upadhis are known. Upadhis, the entirety of the material products, material universe, including one's body, mind, and complex, we know very well comes under the category of the known. And this is how we distinguish the knower of reality as the knower of the material universe. Because the universe is known, including this body, mind, and complex, the standpoint of the known world of forms, names, and functions, the standpoint of known body, mind, and complexes, if you ask the question, the known is there, the known is possible only if there is knowledge. The possibility of the known is because there is knowledge of the known. The knowledge, the possibility of knowledge presupposes the knower being there, knower. There must be knower. Who is the knower? Who is the knower? What is the knower of this world? Then, from the standpoint of the, if you look at Brahman as a sopadhikam Brahma, from the standpoint of the known material world, including one's body, mind and complex, Upanishad says, yes, there is no knower at all other than Atma, the Brahman. The knower is Brahma. Knower is Brahman. Even though Atma does not know, because knowing is not an action. Atma does not do, but the doer is Brahma. Atma is not the enjoyer, doer, but there cannot be knower, doer, enjoyer without Brahman. Atma is not the perceiver, but there cannot be perceiver without Brahman. Therefore, from the standpoint of perception, knowing, everything you can say, all these knower, thinker, doer, attributes are all these qualifications are attributed to Brahma from the standpoint of the upadhi, mithya upadhi. From the standpoint of mithya upadhi, qualifications are attributed to Brahma temporarily. Only to distinguish Brahman from the, it is like to have to discern the water from the wave. To understand water being the truth of the wave. The same way, to discern and to know distinctly the truth, to distinguish the truth, this method is used. From the standpoint of the known, we can say, of course, there's no knower at all other than the Atma. Knower is Atma. To arrive at, then you have to ask, what is the knower? Who is the knower? If knower is there, and if when you search for the knower, you will choicelessly end up, stumble upon the abstract reality, formless reality. Having arrived at the reality, from the standpoint of the reality, if you see, oh, this reality is not the knower, not the doer, not the enjoyer. All qualifications attributed become resolved. In Brahma, negated. Why? When you arrive at reality, the standpoint of reality, reality is nirupadhikam Brahma, nirvisesham Brahma. Nirvisesha Atma, nirupadhikaha Atma. If Brahman is without the upadhis, upadhi rahitam Brahma, upadhi rahitaha Atma is what? Attributeless, nirvisesha. Nirvisesha Atma, nirvisesham Brahma. If sopadhika Atma, savisesha Atma, avisesham Brahma. When do the qualifications become attributed to the Atma Brahman? Only when Brahman is associated with, seen from the standpoint of the upadhis. When Brahman is seen from its own standpoint without the upadhis, it is nirupadhikam Brahma. There are no upadhis. Then it is nirvisesham Brahma. It's also attributeless. Then no qualification can be attributed to Brahman as knower, thinker, etc. Absolutely, Brahman is neither the, not the known, not the doer, not the Brahman is neither the knower nor the doer or the enjoyer. So the standpoint of this Sopadikam, Brahma, Upadi is the objective universe. We can say there is knower, known, knowledge, Triputi, Bhedaha. Jnatru, Jnana, Jneya, Bhedaha. There is difference. But from the standpoint of the Upadis, the standpoint of Nirvisesham Brahma, Nirupadhikam Brahma, there is no knower. Because Brahman is not the knower. Because knowing is not an action. Therefore, there is no knowledge. Because the only truth of the knower is same truth of the knowledge. The same truth of the known also. The knower is Brahma. Known is Brahma. Knowledge is Brahma. So from the standpoint of the reality, the abstract formless reality, there is no knower, known knowledge division. From the standpoint of water, there is no wave difference. There is no difference. Only water. Same from the standpoint of abstract reality, consciousness, there's no Triputi Bheda. So what is this then? It is which it was, we saw as this class also. It's like one, you know, space, indivisible, undivided, partless whole. Brahman has no parts. Okay? This understanding you must have before we enter into this today's class. So here, Bhagavad Pada, let me make it very clear. Bhagavad Pada, imagines the question from Yogacara Buddha. Because he knows what should be the what should be his interpretation of this Pratibodha Viditam Matam. And that this, he presents the doubt from presenting two different quotes. One quotation from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, another quotation from Bhagavad Gita. In both these quotations, the knower qualification is attributed to Atma Brahman. Because the quotes are presented from the standpoint of the Upadis, the material world. So let us see that. We read it out, but I want to make it very clear. Okay, tatra bhavati. Esther read it out. I want to make it very clear. Tatra bhavati. Sopadhikatve. Atmanaha. Buddhi upadhi swarupatvena. Vedam parikalpya. Atmanam veti. Iti samvyavaharaha. See, there is worldly transaction. Samvyavaharaha means what? There's a mundane transaction, worldly transaction. What the worldly transaction? In this worldly transaction, the day-to-day life, Atmanam veti. One understands the Atma. How does one understand Atma? Parikalpya. Bedam parikalpya. Making the difference. In day-to-day worldly transactions, one understands the self, making the difference. Bedam parikalpya Atmanam veti. Katam bedam parikalpya veti. Buddhi upadi swarupatvena. ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪತ್ವೇನ. ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಈಸ್ ದ ಉಪಾಧಿ, ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಸಂಫರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಅಂತಃಕರಣ, ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಉಪಾಧಿ ಫಾರ್ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ. ಸೊ ಉಪಾಧಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪತ್ವೇನ ತಜ್ಞ ಆತ್ಮನಃ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪತ್ವೇನ ಹಿ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ, ದಿ ಲಿಮಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಅಡ್ಜಂಕ್ಟ್ ದಿ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಮೀಡಿಯಂ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಒನ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಆತ್ಮ. ದೆನ್ ಆತ್ಮನಃ ಆತ್ಮನಃ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪತ್ವೇನ ಆತ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ನೋವರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಬುದ್ಧಿ. ಆತ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ನೋವರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಈಸ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ. ಸೊ ದ ನೋವರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಆತ್ಮ, ದ ನೋನ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಆತ್ಮ. ವೈ ದ ಇನ್ಸೆಪರಬಲ್ ವೆನ್ ಸೋಪಾಧಿಕತ್ವೇ ಭವತಿ. ಸೋಪಾಧಿಕತ್ವೇ ವೆನ್ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೇಟಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಸೋಪಾಧಿಕ. ಆತ್ಮ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೇಟಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ. ದೆನ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ, ಅಂತಃಕರಣಂ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ನಮ್ಮ ಉಪಾಧಿ. ಆತ್ಮ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟೇಟಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ನೋವರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಇಸ್ ದ ನೋನ್. ದಿಸ್ ಹೌ ಆತ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ದ ನೋವರ್, ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಇಸ್ ದ ನೋನ್. ಸೊ ಭೇದಂ ಪರಿಕಲ್ಪ್ಯ, ಸೊ ಮೇಕಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಆಸ್ ದ ನೋವರ್, ನೋವರ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಆತ್ಮ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ನೋನ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವಾಟ್ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ ದ ನೋನ್. ದ ಟೂ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆತ್ಮ, ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಎಸ್ ಬೋತ್ ನೋವರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ನೋನ್. ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ವೇತಿ ಇತಿ ಸಂವ್ಯವಹಾರ. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ದೇರ್ಸ್ ಅ ಟೂ ಕೋಟ್ಸ್ ಬೃಹದಾರಣ್ಯಕೋಪನಿಷತ್. ಆತ್ಮನ್ಯೇವ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ, ಆತ್ಮನ್ಯೇವ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ. ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಸೀಸ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ಆತ್ಮನಿಯೇವ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ. ದ ನೋ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ನೋವರ್ ಇಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ, ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ನೋವರ್, ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಿ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ. ದ ನೋವರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ, ದ ನೋವರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ. ಆತ್ಮನ್ಯೇವ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ. ವೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ, ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ವಿಶ್ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಶೋಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದ ನೋವರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಉಪಾಧಿ ಈಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಮೆಥಡ್ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ವಿಶ್ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ, ಟು ಅರಿವತ್ ದಿ ಆತ್ಮ. ಆತ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ವಿಶ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ನೋವರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್. ಸೊ ಆತ್ಮನ್ಯೇವ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ. ಒನ್ ಸೀಸ್ oneself in oneself, which means it is given, mentioned there to distinguish the atma from the mind, thereby to arrive at oneself, one's real nature. And again swayameva atmanam vetatvam purushottama. So Arjuna is telling Krishna, you know yourself swayameva ಆತ್ಮನ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ವೇತ್ ತ್ವಂ ವೇತ್, ಯು ನೋ ಯೋರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಬೈ ಯೋರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್, ಯು ನೋ ಯೋರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಬೈ ಯೋರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ಇನ್ ದೀಸ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ಸ್ What is shown is Atma being distinct from the known mind. Because Atma has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing. Even though Atma is not the knower, knowing is Swarupa of the Atma. Atma is formless, attributeless, inconceivable. How are you going to arrive at it? Therefore, Upanishad presents this method and distinguishing the knower from the known, and thereby Atma, Upanishad wants us to arrive at reality in terms of its nature of knowing. That's the only way of arriving at the reality. Therefore, Atma then is said to be only from the standpoint of Upadis, Atma is said to be the knower of the Upadhi. To distinguish and to arrive at what exactly the knower is, who know the knower is. And having seen these examples, Sankara Bhagavatpada imagines that presenting these two quotations, the Buddha is like a Purupakshi. What is we going to say? These quotes are for distinguishing the Atma from the Anatma to arrive at the Atma. But not to say Atma is the knower. But he takes it as the action. He takes this Swarupma of the Atma as the action. According to Buddha, Atma knows. Atma is the knower. Atma is the knower of the self. So he says, the knower is also Atma. The known is Atma. The known is non-separate from the knower. Therefore what? The Atma is of two parts. The whole Atma is of two parts. One part of the Atma is the knower. Another part of the Atma is the known. So it is not possible, according to Buddha, it is not possible to say Atma is one partless whole. Because he only knows Kshanika Vijnanam. He does not know this Vijnanam, the pure knowledge being beginningless, endless, changeless. Because for him, the pure reality is non-recognizable. He is dependent on the way, vritti, to recognize the Atma. But he is not able to discern it and see how Atma is there even when the vrittis are not there. Even when the vrittis are not there, Atma continues to be there without the qualifications as Nirupadhikam Brahma, as Nirvisesham Brahma, Atma continues to be there. But he does not go beyond that. Therefore, he takes this Atma as the knower of the Buddhi. And these are the quotes. Upanishad, even though he doesn't accept Vedanta Shastram as the Pramanam, Acharya's assumption, Acharya's imagination. Why Yogapachara Buddha says this? One Atma is of two parts, the knower part and the known part. It is like saying, and when people practice yogasana, what they do? When people practice exercise, they can lift one hand and they go and touch the hand is one part, it can touch the other part, head. Put the one hand, you lift your head and put your hand on the head. This one part touching the other part is possible. So subject of action is one's own hand. Object of act of touching is also one's own part. And people bend and they touch the feet with their head. So object of touching, the feet are the objects of touch, the act of touching, and the head is the subject of touching, act of touching. One part can touch the other part. Between subject and object of actions can be are the two parts of the one form. Subject or who subject of the act of touching? I am the subject of the act of touching. I am the doer of the act of touching. Because my hand is my part. And my head is touched. Therefore, the object of the act of touching also is I myself am the object of the act of touching. Because my head alone is touched. So, two parts of the same person can be the subject of the action, can be the object of action also. Similarly, here, knowing is an action of the Atma, this fleeting consciousness. The known is the Buddhi. Because the cognition also goes, no? The whole cognition goes, new cognition comes. The cognition goes means for him, the consciousness also goes, the vritti also goes, new cognition comes. The new consciousness, a new thought, new object. Therefore, for him, there are two parts constitute the Atma, the knower part and the known part. So knowing is an action. Knowing is an action. The knower of the vritti is Atma. The known vritti is also Atma, which is together one. Atma is the one whole, which comes and goes. So cognition is Atma. That's why fleeting consciousness, the momentary consciousness. This is the idea, understanding. Therefore, Acharya mentions now. It's all imagined, okay? What all I said now, it's all imagined. Now, answer is given. Acharya straightway gives the answer. Nirupadhikasya atmanaha. I'm leaving the natu first. Nirupadhikasya atmanaha. For the atma which is devoid of upadhis. If you arrive, after arriving at the reality, as formless, abstract form reality, from the standpoint of reality, you can see the abstract reality has no upadhi. It's like seeing the water from the standpoint of the water. The standpoint of the water, you can't say water has wave form. You can say water appears as the wave, appears in the form of waves. But water does not have it. There's no positive connection between the water and the form, wave form. The same way here, this abstract reality consciousness from its own standpoint is what? Free from upadhis. Nirupadhikam Brahma. Nirupadhikaha Atma. Nirupadikasya Atmanaha Ekatve. The Nirupadika Atma is what? This Atma which is free from upadis. Without upadis, if you see Satyam Atma, Atma from the standpoint of Atma has no upadis. It is free from upadis. The consciousness does not have a body. Consciousness does not have a mind. There's no possessed connection between consciousness and the body mind's complex. Or any physical form, for that matter. Consciousness has no form, no physical body, no mind, no sense organs, no organs of actions, no pranas. These are all gross, subtle, physical, material forms exist, enjoy in exist in the consciousness. Consciousness does not have all that. Therefore, from the standpoint of consciousness, we must be able to see and say, Atma is nirupadhikaha Atma, free from upadhis. And if we see that Atma is a nirupadhikaha Atma, free from upadhis, Atma is what now? Atma is one. Atma is of the nature of oneness. Oneness means what here? Partless, formless, indivisible, undivided, partless. There is oneness. Nirupadikasya Atmanaha Ekatve. When you see the Atma from the standpoint of itself, without any upadis, seeing the Atma as one, what does not happen? Swasamvedyata na sambhavati. Swasamvedyata means what? Having the status of being the known. Atma does not have the status of being the known by itself. Atma is not the knower of itself. Then parasamvedyata. So vedyata means being known also. Having the status of being the known. Vedyam means to be known. Vedyata, vedyatva means having the status of being the known. Atma does not have the status of being the known by itself. Na parasamvedyata. Atma does not have the status of being the known by another knower. Another knower means what? There's no second consciousness to know the Atma. There's no second knower of the Atma other than the Atma. And there's no, matter also cannot be the knower of the Atma. Matter is not, cannot be the knower of the Atma. Nor is there another consciousness to know the Atma. Because there's no second thing. Atma is the nature of oneness. Ekatve. When the oneness being the nature of the Atma is understood from the standpoint of Atma, which is free from upadis, then there does not happen what now? The status of being the known by itself. Atma does not have the status of being the known by anything other than itself. Parasamvedyata nasti. Atma never has the status of being the known by anything else other than itself. Atma does not have the status of being the known by itself. Atma is not the knower of itself. Atma is not the knower of anything else also. Atma is not the known also. Atma is neither the knower nor the known. Atma does not have the status of being the known at all by itself. Atma is not a self-knower. So parasamvedyata means being known by something else. No. Atma does not have the status of being the known by something other than itself, either by matter or by some other consciousness. Because there's no matter other than the Atma. There's no other consciousness. What is this? Only consciousness. And Atma cannot be the knower of itself also. It means Atma cannot be become the object of object to be known by itself also. Why? Because it is partless whole. That's what Sankaracharya explains here. Nirupadhikasya Atmanaha Ekatve Swasamvedyata Na Sambhavati. it's not possible for the Atma to have the status of being the known by itself. It's not possible for Atma to have the status of being the known by something else other than itself. Swasamvedyata na sambhavati, parasamvedyata va na sambhavati. Which means, knowing is not an action of the Atma. Samvedana swarupatvat. Why knowing is not an action? By presenting the first sentence, Acharya wants to say, knowing is not, many things are made very clear there. Knowing is not an action. Atma is not the knower of itself. Nor is there another knower which can know the Atma. Therefore, absolutely from the standpoint of Atma, there is no knower, no knowledge division. That's what he means. Why knowing not an action? Samvedana swarupatvat. Samvedanam is equal to jnanam. Vedanam is the gerund form of vid dhatu. Vid root, veti verb, vedanam knowing. Okay? Samveti means knows. Samvedanam means knowing. Samvedana swarupatvat. As Atma has the nature of knowing, samvedanantara apekshaha cha na sambhavati. There's no requirement of another knower of the Atma. Understand? Samvedanantara apekshaha nasti. There need not be knowledge of the... There need not be the knower of the Atma. If there's no knower of the Atma, means what? Samvedanantara apekshaha apekshacha na sambhavati. Atma, there is no requirement of another knower of the Atma. Why? Atma by itself is of the nature of knowing. So he gives example. Yatha prakashasya prakashantara apekshayaha na sambhavaha. Prakashasya prakashantara apekshayaha na sambhavaha means there's no possibility of the requirement of another light for any light. One light does not require another light to come to light. Any light is self-luminous. Because being self-luminous is the nature. In the same way here, the abstract formless reality, Brahman, is of the nature of knowing by itself. Therefore, there is no requirement of another knower of the Atma. Atma is not the knower of itself, nor is there another knower for the Atma. Why? Atma is of the nature of knowing. Because knowing is not an action. So having said this, we do, I remember this much today, we do say the knower of the world is Atma. the one and the only knower obtaining in all the minds of all the human beings is Atma. There is a second knower other than the Atma. When do we say? Sopadhikatvina. From the standpoint of upadhis, which come under the category of the known, when you distinguish the knower from the known, in order to arrive at the Atma, then we say the knower qualification is attributed to the Atma from the standpoint of the known only. But having arrived at the Atma from the standpoint of the Atma, seeing Atma being absolutely attributeless and formless, seeing the Atma as the one which is free from upadhis and attributes, when you understand Atma, oneness being nature of the Atma, Atma being the only reality, and as Atma is of the nature of knowing, we can say Atma is not the knower of the self. Atma is not the object of knowledge of any other knower also. So swasamvedyata nasti means what? Atma is not the knower of itself. Atma does not become the object of knowledge of itself. Atma does not become object of knowledge of something else also. Is it clear? Very important, very subtle teaching. So he says, now only he comes. Baudha pakshe swasamvedyatayam tu kshanabhangu. Now Bhagavad-pada, very briefly he mentions, we have to elaborate and understand. I tell you, we have to elaborate and understand. He does not say much. He briefly mentions about the Buddha's view, Yogacara Buddha's view. And now, having said that, he is going to point out the logical loopholes in Yogacara Buddha's views. Now what is going to come later on is Yogacara Buddha, the logical loopholes. If we accept him, what will be the problem? Mainly he says, kshanabhanguratvam. Kshanabhanguratvam is the first defect. Second logical loophole is what? Niratmakatvam. Baudha pakshe, the view of, from the standpoint of the Buddha's view, swasamvedyatayam, seeing the Atma having the status of being the knower of itself, seeing the Atma having the status of being known by itself, then what happens? Kshanabhanguratvam. Kshanabhanguratvam means what? Bhanguratvam means changeable, is bhanguratvam. Transitoriness is bhanguratvam. Kshanabhanguratvam means what? Atma will have the problem, defect of having the status of being time bound and being transitory. Atma has this, there's a fallacy of seeing Atma being transitory. The niratmakartha means, because every time the thought, cognition goes, Atma also disappears. Therefore, there is no self. There is no truth. Niratmakartha means there is no reality. There is no truth in terms of Atma. So what is kshanabhanguratvam? What is niratmakartham? I will explain tomorrow. So, alright. This needs to be explained. Kshanabhanguratvam, niratmakatvam are the words you would be acharya to point out the logical fallacies, loopholes. Okay. So better understand this. Nirupadhikatve ekatvam. So Vedarahityam. Akartrutvam abhoktrutvam. Sopadhikatve we say Saviseshatvam. Seeing the Atma from the standpoint of Upadis, it has all attributes. Then Sagunam Brahma, Saviseshyam Brahma. The standpoint of Brahman is free from attributes and Upadis, then is attributeless. And Swarup means knowing. Atma is neither the knower of itself, nor is it an object of, nor it can be object of knowledge of anything else. So Atma is sparkless. This is something, how Atma is sparkless. We have to understand again. I'll explain tomorrow. Is it all right? We'll see tomorrow. The very subtle thing. Very, very subtle. Your understanding Yogacara Bauddha, the fallacy in our Yogacara Bauddha's view itself is what? Clear understanding of Advaita. Yeah? Understanding the fallacy in Yogacara Bauddha is having clear understanding of non-duality of the reality. So, tomorrow I'll explain. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.